Hello there, and welcome to the Cinema Cafe podcast, the film podcast by the fans for the fans. This is episode 92, and my name is Joshua Liu.
And this is Penny Lam.
And we'd like to thank everyone for joining us as we review new movie releases, talk some film news, and share our general love for all things cinema. There's a lot of love to go around, and we want to share. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. So, we are back with another episode of the Cinema Cafe Podcast, and this is, I guess we're closer to the July 4th weekend, America's Independence Day. So, Penny, you have many, many more days off than I do.
I do.
I know, and I'm
But I have so much more work than you do.
That is true, and I am very jealous of that fact. But, Penny, how have you been? What's new?
I'm doing well. I'm just trying to survive the week and trying to enjoy the
4th of July. Trying to survive the week?
Always.
I'm really looking forward to see Spider-Man.
It's always the same story with me. Always trying to survive the week.
I have some coworkers that are going to go see the Spider-Man movie at midnight tonight.
Shut up. So, I can't wait!
I know, be good. But, yeah, I mean, I'm doing well. Same old works, you know.
I didn't ask.
Oh.
Just kidding.
I appreciate that fact, Penny. Greg is still recovering. He had surgery, so hopefully, you know, our prayers are with him. And hopefully, you know, I mean, I know he's doing well. I saw him and I talked to him, but, you know, hopefully we'll have him back
on
the show
soon.
Speedy
recovery, that's what we say.
That is definitely. But, yeah, so everybody, you know, nothing's better, I always feel, than a holiday, especially 4th of July when it's so hot outside. You just sit in a movie theater, sit at home in the AC and watch some movies.
Now, I like how people like to go to the beach.
I think that's crazy.
I just want to go to the mall where there's AC blasting 24/7.
We did that last weekend for Saturday and Sunday because it was so hot. But I don't really have any movie talk back, any movie news to get to.
Man, you're so emotive with that. No movie news or movie talk back.
I don't. So let's just...
There is movie news.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Tomcat divorcing. Crazy.
I guess that's news.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have called it quits after I don't even know how many years. But I mean, I always thought that was per the usual, per the status quo when the male was a Scientologist.
Still.
Okay. Well.
And gay. Oops.
Let's get right into the movies. One of the movies.
Anderson Cooper came out today. I mean, openly. Okay, we're done here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, we are done. We won't be reviewing Magic Mike. Did not get a chance to Penny's chagrin.
I'm going to see it. I don't know when, but I'm going
to
see it.
Before we get to our two main movie reviews, I have a few movies that I want to quickly get through. Now, one is actually showing at the New York Asian Film Festival. Now, as I've been talking in the last two shows, the New York Asian Film Festival is actually going on right now as the end of June into about mid-July. And it's basically the... New York's major, I guess only, but one of the, maybe not the only, but major Asian film festival called the New York Asian Film Festival. And as I mentioned for the last two shows, I wanted to highlight some of the movies that I want to recommend or tell people to stay away from. Now, one of the movies I really want to talk about is a Taiwanese film called Starry Night. Now, as I mentioned, this is a 2011 Taiwanese fantasy drama, and it's directed by Tom Lin. And it's based on another Taiwanese illustrated novel of the same name by Jimmy Liao, which of course got its name from the famous Van Gogh painting. Now, the film is about a young teenage boy and girl, probably around 13 years old, 14 years old, who go through various problems from divorcing parents, bullies, and school life. As life begins to build up, they try to hold on to their innocence and the deep bond that forms between them. Now, this film is just a visual wonder, a perfect example of magical realism, as everyday things like taking a train or walking down the street transform into flying trains and blue elephants all through the eyes of the younger girl. Now, I've talked about this with you, Penny. I wanted you to see it for quite some time. And this is easily one of, if not the best coming-of-age stories I've ever seen. It's heartbreaking in its innocence and tenderness. The acting from the two young leads is superb, especially from the younger girl. Everyone has experienced that point in their youth when their innocence has been lost, either through like a death in the family, the struggles to survive, or the dissolution of the family core. So this film really rings true, really hits all the beats to create a truly magical and honest world. And I cannot speak highly enough of this film or about this film. If this came out this year, the year I saw it, this would easily be my top five, possibly top three films of the year. This is a great example why Taiwan is now known for producing the best cinema in Asia, even over South Korea and China. It perfectly represents the whimsical and magical world that Van Gogh expressed in his painting. And there's just so much wonderful charm, and the epilogue of this film, wow, it just left me speechless. So see this at the New York Asian Film Festival. If you are in New York, check the listings of when it's showing, and if you get a chance. But I'm sure this will be released stateside eventually on DVD.
I'm pretty excited for it. I would like to watch it.
Yeah, I think you would really enjoy this film, Penny. Especially, I know you're always pumping up Taiwan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The motherland.
So, definitely check this out. And I gotta say, Penny,
Anthony,
I know...
Anthony Bourdain's filming The Layover
in Taiwan right now. Oh, that's gonna be interesting. Get to see all the different Taiwanese street food.
Jealous.
And I know you're kind of upset that I made you watch Apple the My Eye instead of this film.
I know.
Well, you're going to have to check it out. Now, the second movie I want to quickly mention before our main reviews is a film called The Woman on the Fifth. Now, I mentioned this to you, Penny. I know that. But you never heard about this film, right?
No. Oh, but you told me about it.
Yeah, oddly enough, this is a two...
And you spoiled it.
I did spoil it because I don't think you'd ever see it. But there is stuff to spoil here. This is a 2011 French, British, and Polish thriller. And
who knew?
It's directed by Paweł Palankowski. I love the two, Paweł.
Like,
and is
Thomas Tom?
Yeah, basically. And it's based on the novel of the same name by Douglas Kennedy. So the film stars Ethan Hawke as a failed writer who travels to Paris to reconnect with his wife and young daughter. Down on his luck, he takes a job as a security guard and meets all types of unsavory characters. And I gotta say, Penny, I did spoil it to you, but it's really difficult to review and explain this film because it's all set up to be an incredibly slow and methodical movies with plots and turns. If I had to...
Hold, please.
I apologize for that, but if I had to equate this movie to another, it's very similar to Roman Polanski's Tenet. You have to be in the mood to watch a film unravel before your eyes, as you, like Ethan, slowly begins to lose their minds. As the film falls from your eyes, and you witness something very foreign, very European in execution, there are a lot of, I guess, unanswered and open-ended questions, but if you stick with this film, if you give in to the amazing performances by Ethan Hawke and his love interest, played by Kristen Scott Thomas, who doesn't love Kristen Scott Thomas, Penny?
I'm sure a lot of people. Yeah, I'm kidding.
She does great films, but you'll be...
I don't feel like a lot of people know
she
her.
Does films for you, too. Like those
I know,
Oscar
but that's the thing.
Films.
I don't think she's a mainstream
British actress that speaks fluent French, and oddly enough, doesn't speak any French here.
Just...
Yeah, but you'll be incredibly rewarded. I absolutely love this film because of its execution. It's beautiful and cold cinematography and the fantastic performances. And yet, I can see people also really, actually, genuinely hating this film. But I love moody and slow thrillers that unravel in unexpected Art Nouveau kind of ways. So for me, I give this a bring your lunch from home because you do not want to miss this one. And just a note, while Hawke does star in this film, I want to say 65% of this film is in French, since evidently Hawke is fluent in that as well.
Jeez.
Yeah, and also on a side
note... What an auteur.
Hey, oh, I love Ethan Hawke, his beat-up face. But on another side note, I don't think Hawke... I was just watching another movie the other day, Penny. I forgot what movie was on TV with Ethan Hawke, and I pointed it out, where he's not a failed or a struggling writer anymore.
Right.
He just exudes that misshapen, charming yet failed look. But I don't know, what movie was I watching recently? It was on TV, and I was like, oh, he's playing another writer there. But I can't remember. I wish it was Before Sunset, that movie. All right, with that out of the way, let's get in. Did you see any new movies or any television you want to mention, Penny, that you've been digging?
I don't think so.
No? That's good. All right.
Adding tons of value, per usual.
With that out of the way, and regardless of Penny trying to sink this ship, Hatfields and McCoys?
I mean, that's a little dated now.
That
but
is a little dated. Very, very good show.
I did really like it a lot.
What's interesting is that Hatfields and McCoys takes a kind of like a Western with two families at odds. It's very famous.
Yeah, it's so much drama.
And, basically, they almost killed each other's entire families off. And what's interesting, I think it's Lucy Liu or Charlize Theron, I forgot one of them. I know they're totally different people.
Yes.
Is doing a modern adaptation of Hatfields and McCoys. And I think it's going to be for ABC.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, maybe. With that out of the way, let's get into our first feature main review we have for you this week. And it's a, I want to say, true historical look at one of the most important presidencies of our, I guess, foundation. Especially, this is a great review for 4th of July. Because
very
how important
patriotic review.
Yes, but it is a movie called Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And I looked, and behold, was death saying, come and see.
History prefers legends to men. It prefers nobility to brutality. Soaring speeches to quiet deeds. History remembers the battle, but forgets the blood. However, history remembers me. Before I was a president, it shall only remember a fraction of the truth.
And hell will follow me.
Darkness everywhere, Mr. Lincoln.
My mother was murdered. I can see the rage burning. Tip the balance for the good of all mankind.
I shall kill them all. Okay, this is the big blockbusters movie that I think has been a bomb, Penny, basically. I think it's only made $20 million. But yeah, this is a 2012 action, true-to-life, as I mentioned before, biopic. And it's directed by Timur Bekmambetov. I'm totally butchering his name. Timur Bekmambetov. Bekmambetov, all right, there you go.
Got it.
Of Wanted and the Russian film Night Watch fame. And is based on the novel the same name from author Sean Graham Smith. Now, the film stars Benjamin Walker, a young-looking Liam Neeson lookalike, as Abraham Lincoln, who, as a young boy, witnesses the murder of his mother by a vampire and swears to get revenge as Abraham Lincoln is wont. He is trained by a vampire hunter in the ways of the hunt, and with his trusty axe, battles vampires from the early days of his adulthood to his ascension to the throne of the United States presidency, and with it, the advent of the Civil War. Now, this is one of those, take an existing book and fill it with, I don't know, 15% new stuff about the main character battling demons, and pass it off as your own. And voila, millions of dollars. Yes,
I am
really very
millions?
Jealous. Yeah, oh yeah, this guy's super rich now, Sean Graham Smith. He's the one that created this whole Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Him.
Yeah.
Movie. Eh.
No. With that said, I think the movie did a decent job as an action movie. The action is crisp, as honest Abe wields, you know, himself some acts of justice. And the special effects, what?
Acts of justice?
Acts
really?
Of justice.
You went there?
Are decent. The special effects are decent. However, everything else pretty much fails. The characterization is so below minimal, it's almost absent. Lincoln falls in love with Mary Todd, played by, you know, beautiful as always, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. But who is she? What are her thoughts? What are her feelings and motives? They're basically all non-existent. She's basically a cipher for Lincoln to fall in love with, and could have been called girl Lincoln falls in love with.
They were just trying to follow his life story. They should have also made her a lot more unattractive and...
Well, he as well, but...
True.
Yeah,
He looked like a young Liam Neeson, though.
I mentioned that earlier.
I blocked you out.
Because you're on your phone, like I keep asking you, you always do this, but... Okay, I'm used to that. So, the supporting cast, the vampire hunter does get, the main vampire hunter here that teaches Lincoln does get some backstory, but it's pretty irrelevant, and Lincoln's black friend, yeah, let's just say he's there to be, you know, black buddy number one. The movie is just a bit frustrating in that because you can't connect to any of the characters, and because of that, you never feel for the plight for any of them for one moment. You know Lincoln has to win, because that's history. So the writer and director needed to show you how in an interesting way. How did they win? And while the action is good, narratively, it's all over the place. It goes from action to action, to speeches to action, and there's just moments where things are downright dull. However, as a dumb action film, I found myself enjoying the film, if not loving it. And well, I feel like this, that's kind of all you're shooting for. But Penny, you are actually kind of excited to see this film too, right?
Of course.
It's
kind of, my favorite president.
Yes, you love Honest Abe, and I love him. Me some vampires. What did you think of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, Penny?
I mean, there were definitely scenes that were ridiculous. I mean, running on the horses.
That is one of the greatest scenes in cinema this year.
Untrue.
Let's set up the scene, Penny. So, Honest Abe chasing another vampire. They're basically hopping from horse to horse during a horse stampede.
Yes. Which is realistic.
Yes, so realistic. And then the vampire amazingly chucks, and I use the word chuck, and that's correct way to use it, a horse at Lincoln during a stampede while they're on top of horses running.
Yes. This happened. No bravo. No bravo.
It was quite amazing.
It was ridiculous. I was looking at you like, why is this happening? What is going on?
And you know, that's one of the major problems I had with this film, Penny, before you get to your review. I apologize, because it didn't have enough of that absurdity.
Really?
It needed more, because this kind of film is ridiculous. It needed more of that.
True, but it's already absurd when you're talking about vampires.
Yes,
that's the whole
point
of it.
But it's not absurd enough. All right, continue with your review. I apologize.
It's fine. I thought it was interesting, because there were some historical fact and obviously lots and lots of fiction. But, I mean, you know what? You have to go in with not super high expectations. I don't know what you think you're getting. If you go in with some, Oscar bait movie, it's not that. But I thought it was fun. It was kind of dumb fun, but it was still fun for me.
Yeah, you know what kind of film you're getting into.
You do.
When you watch this kind of film. I mean, any film called Abraham Lincoln, and then
Vampire Hunter,
I guess,
that's an issue.
It's kind of ridiculous, especially when it takes in a historical, real-life people. And this film was littered.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, since this is based on his autobiography, there's a lot of people in this that really existed. So it's interesting watching him play off them. And director Timur Bekmambetov.
Stop saying his name.
Timur. Does a good job. I think he does a good job in dealing with the light and dark of Lincoln's world. And as I mentioned, it needed more horse throwing, and then it would have been brilliant and awe-inspiring. I think Timur does a good job. And
I don't think you say Timur. I think it's Timur.
Timur? Like Timmy? Timmy?
Yeah.
Timur.
You have problems.
All right. Well, I'm not going to get into the actors right now like we usually do, since they weren't any good. But I don't think it's their fault, since they weren't really given nothing, absolutely
nothing
to work with.
I will say that the African-American actor, what's his name?
He liked him a lot.
He's in Adjustment Bureau. He's in a ton of other
He's in some
movies.
Really good films.
I think he's a superb actor. I mean, given what he had,
he did
his best.
And I apologize, I don't have the names right off the top of my head. There's another guy from the TV show, Breaking In. Is that what it's called, Penny? The prison show that I watch? Anyway.
Yes.
The Breakout Kings. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, like, we're alive.
We're really bad. But again, that's the problem with this film. Like, as I said, there's really some poor characterization. So, the actors in it were really given nothing to do. So, they're basically all but forgettable. Except for the main character, Lincoln. So, for me, Penny, I get this...
And the guy who trained him.
Yeah, I still don't think he was really... He had, like, a slight backstory.
Yes.
But beyond that, not really anything else. So I give this a DVD/matinee rating. I will say, one of my favorite actors, who's clearly typecasted in the bad guy role, from
Always.
The Knight's Tale.
Always.
You know, he has that look, but he does a fantastic job in this film. The villain of this piece, the head vampire. They don't call him Dracula, do they? Was he ever called Dracula?
No.
Because he's the first of them, they said. But all right, so DVD/matinee rating for me, Penny. What do you give this film?
I think I'd go with the same rating as well. Just because, I mean, I don't think it's worth you going out of your way to pay for a movie ticket, but I would definitely say it's a rental or just a watch when it's on.
All right, well, there you go. Maybe in-flight watch on the airplane?
In-flight watch or a
cable late night?
Catch on TNT when it's, when it's available 3-4 years from now.
Like, what I keep seeing on TV is driving me crazy? And it's a
shallow Hal.
Yeah, this terrible. I always mention that.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Because I was yelling,
"Shallow Hal!" That's so funny because I just saw someone post about it and I was like, "Shallow Hal."
It's such an awful movie. And yet it's on every weekend, like four times a week.
You know what's always on now?
What's that?
What a Girl Wants.
Really?
Like on MTV.
Why? It's Amanda Bynes?
Yes. Like, why?
Do you think they have that song from,
They don't.
Christina Aguilera?
No.
What a Girl Wants.
No, nope. They don't.
There you
go.
Which
is even more annoying.
All right, with that out of the way, let's get into our second and last feature main review for we have for you this week. And I guess it's the Pixar blockbuster film that takes the Irish in Scottish. I don't even know what it is.
What does that even mean? That doesn't mean anything, actually.
But it's the film called Brave.
I saw something that day. Something I'll not forget. It stands 12 feet tall, with razor-sharp claws. His hide littered with the weapons of fallen warriors. His face scarred with one dead eye. A Duma sword and...
Chomp! Dad's leg was clean off!
Oh, that's my favorite part!
In accordance with our laws, the firstborn of each of the great leaders must prove their worth. Merida, stop!
A lady enjoys elegant pursuits.
I present my only son. He took out a whole armada single-handedly. He was eating. With one arm, he was steering the ship.
I want my freedom. But are you willing to pay the price your freedom will cost?
Careful what you wish for, my mother would say.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah! No more fighting!
Show a little decorum!
Feast your eyes!
If you had the chance to change your fate, would you?
Okay, now, this is, I guess, the big blockbuster release. This is what the movie that stole the Abraham Lincoln bucks. But this is a 2012 3D CGI animated fantasy adventure Pixar film.
I thought it was Madea that did all that.
Well, Madea came out the week after. And it's directed by Mark Andrews and Brendan Chapman. And it's a story of a young princess named Merida, living in, I don't know, would you place it like 16th century Scotland?
Oof, I have no idea.
I don't think they really mention it, right?
Yeah.
I'd say sometime around there. Who wants to change her fate after her mother tries to marry off to a prince to keep their kingdom united. She runs away on a journey of self-discovery and in the end finds out that the only way to change your fate is to change yourself. Sounds very Disney. Sounds very like a Disney movie and perhaps not a Pixar movie. And if you thought
Agreed.
That, yep, you would Agreed. Be correct in that assessment. And I have to say, Penny, it's the, as that way, most Disney of all the Pixar movies. And by Disney, I mean like it's sent, you know, Pixar movies are sentimental, but there's a certain kind of Disney sentimentality that doesn't reach those heights of Pixar,
right.
Like Toy Story 3,
right.
Like WALL-E, like
yeah.
Up. It doesn't reach
the
those
thing
heights.
Is, it's, yeah, I mean, I feel like you're right. In this, it was, I don't know, it's like it's almost like they're almost forcing it out of you versus in Pixar.
It just comes naturally
from
the event.
It just comes naturally,
yeah.
And sometimes it just, it's not, yeah, they just know how to make a movie, and it's not trying to, you know, tug on the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the heartstrings. They just do it.
Well, the thing is that
they do it with ease, and this, you can tell, it wasn't. It was,
I always thought
it was forced.
Yeah, I always thought the great thing about Pixar is that it felt everything felt for organic.
Yeah.
And that was always the difference between Pixar and Disney, is that Disney never really, besides those great earlier
right.
princess films, It never really felt organic. Now, this is the first Pixar movie starring a female.
It was also very formulaic.
Yes, extremely.
Versus some picture. Most Pixars aren't formulaic at all.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about.
You never know what's going to happen.
When you talk about WALL-E, like, I didn't even expect that type of movie to come out of it. And, yeah.
And I think that's
And with Up, I'm sorry, but I didn't expect to be crying 20 minutes in.
No.
It's just things like that where it's just, you know, they don't follow the beginning. I don't know. Beginning, middle, end. And I know that's every story, but there's a very specific way of setting up the background, then the issue, and then
let's get into what you said about it being very formulaic. Now, as I was saying before, this is a first Pixar movie starring a female heroine, and maybe that's why they're not really used to it. But I mean, they can make a faceless, not talking, untalking robot amazingly, and an old man. Like, you want to buy an old man action figure because it was just so sympathetic. But going back to what you said, Penny. We're not going to give anything away at all. But the reason...
Yeah, I will say, I didn't see this storyline coming.
But the thing is that the film takes some terms that Pixar has been really good about not showing in the trailers at all. In fact, the trailer shows you nothing, actually, about the movie. And it's about, which I don't think I've seen in that kind of marketing, and I don't know, forever, maybe. Right. And to give that up to Pixar, it's amazing. However, once you see it, it's very formulaic. But you don't see it coming because...
Right, because the
trailers don't show you anything about it. And Pixar...
They don't set it up in any way.
And Pixar generally doesn't do this kind of movie.
Right.
And so, like, that's why it's very formulaic. But I have to say, like, out of all the films, Penny, and I know you're a big fan of this person, too, while this is also the very most Disney film, this is kind of also, like, the modern Disney of Japan. This felt like a very Studio Ghibli film as well.
Right.
You know, like, My Neighbor Totoro, like, you know, Spirited Away, or... You know, Princess Mononoke.
I can see that.
Yeah, because it's very environmental. This obviously take place 16th century Scotland, so very environmental about that. And you know, it deals with kind of Will o' the Wisps a little. It had a very magical realism to it that Pixar films don't generally do.
Right.
You know, Pixar's films don't generally deal with magic. That's Disney with, you know, witches and whatnot.
Right.
So it's very interesting about that. But and it's also weird because this kind of felt like a slapstick comedy, like an old Looney Tunes cartoon. That kind of felt out of place in a Pixar movie. And we apologize for not going into more detail because we don't want to give anything away that's not in the trailer. You should see this for yourself because it is a big surprise. But Penny, with out of the way, certain misgivings that we've expressed, certain differences about how a traditional Pixar film does their films, and this doesn't really follow it. But then again, maybe this is because their first crack at it, female heroine, maybe they'll get into it. What did you think of this film?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were certain scenes, there's no actual singing in this, but there's certain scenes with music as well that kind of felt out of place too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it was strange because, like you said, going into the film, you really had no expectation of what to come except, hey, I bet this is going to be really good. And when you go in, it just didn't live up to expectations. And then the storyline of where it took me was very unexpected, and you know, but once it got into it, you're like, okay, well, you know what's gonna happen, you know all the things that she's gonna have to do to resolve whatever the situation is, right? So it's just, I thought it was weak, especially for a Pixar film. Regarding the female lead, I mean, I felt like Disney, when doing cartoons, did tons of strong female leads in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, maybe back then, and I haven't watched them recently, but I've had fond memories of them, like Mulan and Pocahontas. I, like, loved those growing up.
Yes, and, but you know, like...
Maybe they don't live up to...
Well, for a while, they didn't have really strong female leads. I mean, if you think about the last Princess Disney films, there was a Princess and the Frog, which was a fine film, but not... The problem is that Disney films are contingent on having catchy tunes, and I don't think Princess and the Frog had a catchy tunes.
Right.
But Rapunzel actually was very good, I thought. So, you know, there's a balance, but that also didn't have a large amount of singing. So I think they've been hit and miss recently.
Right.
But yeah, for a Pixar film, I mean, like we said, this felt very
It's
Disney.
Definitely one of the weaker Pixar.
Yeah, definitely. But going back to the female lead, Merida, she's a good character, but her growth...
Yeah.
I feel comes too quickly. One moment she's the classic selfish brat, unable to understand her parents, and then there's a scene where there's fishing, and then cut to Merida being regal. The problem is that the film is uneven. It meanders a lot, having scenes that feel unnecessary, like having a 3-minute scene of Merida chasing these magical wisps, but then taking only like 2 minutes to show her character growth, or the growth of her mother. It all just felt weird. The main issue is that I'm looking at this film, like you said, in the overall Pixar oeuvre.
Right.
And while a good film, it fails to have any of that, you know, that classic Pixar magic. Right. But I will say, though, the animation is stunning.
Yeah.
Merida's fiery hair is amazing. And I read somewhere that they had to create this whole thing just separate, just for her hair, because it's flowing and magic and beautiful. And like I said, the countryside, the whole animation is actually really, really stunning. And really good thing I thought about is that it has actually a very good mother and daughter relationship, I thought.
Right.
You know, that really helps drive the film and really is a, you know, classic, again, Disney film, mother and daughter. But I think it does a really good job. And the soundtrack is decent, if not spectacular, although it does have a Mumford and Sons song with Birdie. But the musical scenes, I said before, feel a bit forced and lacking. Like, they try to shoot in, like, Disney film, you know what I mean? Even though the female leads aren't singing. The voice actress, Kelly MacDonald, who plays the Princess Merida, Emma Thompson Penny as the Queen, Eleanor Billy Connolly,
like
Kevin McKidd, Craig Ferguson, Robbie Coltrane. I actually thought the voice acting was particularly strong.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever really seen a film where I was like, oh man, this voice acting is awful.
Yeah.
Recently.
I mean,
I
think that's really hard.
Yeah. So Penny, for me, this, I know you haven't seen some of these films, but this stands between like Cars and Wall-E, which is the top for me. Probably around like Bugs Life.
I've never seen Cars.
You've never seen Bugs Life either, have you?
I don't think so.
Well,
sure.
Bugs Life is actually pretty decent, but this is between, like, right around Bugs Life for me, between Cars and Wall-E. How about you, Penny? Is this one of the lower?
Yeah, this is definitely one of the lower ones, and I can't say that I've seen that many Pixar that never really was that not as good. You know what I mean? So it's really hard for me to just, like, it was okay.
I think if Disney released it, I would say, hey, this is a pretty good film. Bring your lunch from home. But the problem is that this is a Pixar movie.
I know Pixar,
and you expect
brings it to another level.
You expect
and
total different excellence.
I like the animated short. At
the animated
beginning.
Short was fantastic. This is the animated short, La Luna, that won the Oscar for 2012, and it is stunning.
Yeah,
it is beautiful and really, really
I mean,
good.
That was very cute.
People say it's Pixar's best short, and I might agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. This one just, like you said, it just fell short, and. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if that storyline's even that strong. I mean, I feel like, of course, trying not to give things away, but there was a point where she had to do something to fix the situation she was in. And it was a fix where you could almost be a physical fix, actually, you know, mending something, versus a metaphorical way of mending something. And I just felt like that was kind of weak. And
no.
I felt like they should have left that, I don't know.
Well, I agree with you. The main issue is that, like...
Sorry, I'm like speaking in...
Yeah, roundabout way.
Yeah.
But going to what you're saying. So basically, the conflict has to be resolved with a kind of riddle. And to me, the riddle is so easy that I'm just like, they're like trying to figure it out. And like, what do we do? How do you figure it out? And then suddenly, like after going through another 20 minutes, they figure out like, really? It's really easy.
Right.
It's actually a really easy thing to solve.
But I felt like that was too easy then.
Yes.
Then it should have been about the...
But it
emotional,
was both. But it
spiritual.
Was both. It was
both
physical
both.
And
right.
Emotional.
And, right. But I feel like, I don't know, again, I don't want to give anything away, but I felt like there was a line that could have been drawn to say, like, actually, this is the thing that resolved it all because, you know, the spirit of blah, blah,
blah. So
you think
there should have been something more than just
that.
How they solved it.
Yes.
A simple way. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, fair enough. So I know this is the same rating as Abraham Vampire Hunter, and this is a far superior film to Abraham. But again, you're going to these films seeing something different, and I'm taking this as a Pixar film. So because of that, I give this a DVD /Matinee. A good film, a beautiful film that I would still think you should see in the theaters because it is a beautifully animated film. It just doesn't live up to the Pixar oeuvre. And as I mentioned, if Disney released it, I probably would have given it a DVD/Matinee. Right.
But I don't know if I would pay for the 3D prices.
The 3D was fine. But it wasn't anything spectacular. It wasn't like a 3D.
I would say Matinee stands to 3D, you know?
DVD/Matinee for you too? All right.
I mean, that's the thing. I didn't love it, but I think it was strong enough. And it, like you said, it is a good story. It just wasn't Pixar-y enough.
All right, there you go.
Weird to say that.
Is Pixar-y a real word? Pixar-y, you can find it in the English dictionary.
I just made it up.
All right. So, with that out of the way, those are our two main reviews. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, both gave it a DVD/Matinee. Dumb action fun that's sorely lacking in characterization. And with, of course, Brave, a decent film, if it was a very good film, if it was a Disney film, but since it's a Pixar, it's a very average Pixar movie. Now, with that out of the way, let's move right on to the end of this week's show. All right, now we'd like to thank everyone for joining us for another episode of the Cinema Cafe podcast. Now, before we get to which movies we're reviewing for the next show, here are the upcoming new movie releases for the next 2 weeks, starting with July 3rd. Is it really July 3rd? Oh, yeah, I guess so. Because the movie's coming out on a Tuesday. As we mentioned early in the show, a comic book movie franchise gets a quick reboot with a younger and, I think, better-looking cast. In The Amazing Spider-Man, Oliver Stone returns with a tale of drugs, friendship, and sex in The Savages.
Looks awful.
Oh, I think it looks pretty good.
You're going by yourself.
Another music documentary about a pop star hits with Katy Perry, Part of Me. And lastly, another documentary, this one about a billionaire couple who tries to renovate their mansion, inspired by Versailles. They actually want to make their mansion to look like Versailles.
Shut up.
And their soon loss of fortune in the real estate bubble collapse in Queen of Versailles.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any commercials for it. Now for the movies released on July 13th. July 6th, but because of that Spider-Man movie, we're talking about July 3rd. All right, now on to the movies for July 13th. Another year, another Ice Age movie.
It's not another year, another Ice Age. They don't come out every year.
Another 2 years, another Ice Age movie in Ice Age, Continental Drift. A European crime movie hits U.S. cinemas, finally, in Easy Money. De Niro and Sigourney Weaver, I've never even heard of this film, Penny.
What?
Star in a film about ghosts and psychics in red lights.
Awesome.
And lastly, a documentary about the true story of a young Frenchman who convinces a grieving Texas family he's their long-lost, missing 16-year-old son in The Imposter.
That actually sounds
fantastic.
Well, you already know it's an imposter.
Well, yeah, but the whole thing is like, how did he do this? So, Penny, any that you're interested in seeing?
I mean, that sounds pretty interesting right there.
Yeah, Imposter sounds fantastic. Of course,
that's
we'll be seeing
up.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
And I know you don't want to see the Andrew Savages.
Garfield. I am not watching the Savages. It's so awful.
Still got to see
Serena Vanderwoodson, please.
Still got to see that Woody Allen film, even though for some reason it's only playing one theater in New York, which irritates me to no end because it's really far from where I are. And I've turned it down numerous times, but I may see the Katy Perry movie eventually.
No.
For those that don't know, not to go into specifics, but that's part of my job, dealing with Katy Perry. Let's just say that.
Yes. Joshy is Katy Perry's bodyguard.
Yeah, I'm her manager, if you don't know. No, of course not. yeah, that's why I'm doing this podcast for free, people.
Right.
Because I'm...
Clearly, you're rolling in the dough.
Getting that Katy Perry money. But if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember that you reviewed the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. So, Penny, thank you so much for joining me for another episode.
Of course.
My name is...
I'm here.
Joshua Liu.
This is Penny Lamb.
Have a great week. Have a great 4th of July. Let's celebrate America's independence by being what all great Americans are.
Can we end
becoming overweight?
This show with America, fuck yeah?
No.
Please?
We're not doing
Damn.
That.
Damn.
We're ending the show with, I think, the perfect song for Abraham Lincoln by Linkin Park, which they played in the song.
Oh, stop.
We're going to do that. But that was played in the trailer, so you got that.
It's spelled the same way.
It isn't?
Linkin Park?
Yeah, but Abraham Lincoln. It's all spelled the same way, no?
No. L-I-N-K.
Oh, yes, right. You don't spell Abraham Lincoln that way?
No.
No kidding. All right.
Crazy.
We'll be back with another show, reviewing, of course, more movies as always, and happy movie watching.